In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is a great paradox in the Christian life. The world does not understand this paradox. Worldly Christians do not understand this paradox. The vast majority of Christians do not understand this paradox. And that is that great awareness of sins brings about great confidence before God and peace in the soul. Most people don't know this. Now, our services are replete with it. You look at so many of our hymns and they mention our wretchedness and God's mercy in the same breath. Everywhere, especially in the Triodion, but really everywhere. You can't really go two pages in a service book without seeing this. And this is a great paradox to the world that thinks in fleshly ways, doesn't think in a spiritual way. If you want to have peace in your heart, you must think spiritually. Remember when Christ was speaking with Nicodemus? He said, spiritual things are for the spiritual. You must learn to think spiritually. You must learn to think of yourself and of God in a spiritual way, not in a psychological way. Now, the world and worldly people, and I guess your conscience has to tell you whether you count yourself among those or not, thinks of pain as something to be avoided, to be covered up, to be distracted from, especially the pain of knowledge of oneself. We find ways to not think about that or to distract ourselves from it. Or another thing, which the Pharisee shows, is to think of our accomplishments. Maybe they're great, maybe they're small, but we think of our accomplishments rather than our sins. Now, the other side of this going away from pain, this running away from the pain of knowledge of oneself that the world does and worldly Christians do, is that when a person feels this internal pain, they feel completely worthless, without hope, with a great sense of self-loathing and self-hatred. Those two ways, ignoring sin, covering it up, emphasizing our accomplishments, and the other way, feeling completely worthless, without hope, feeling sad and embarrassed about ourselves. Those two ways do not lead to peace. There's only one way that leads to peace. Recognize that you're a sinner. It's true. You might as well say it. You might as well believe it. You might as well really live it, that you are a sinner. Live like you are a sinner. I don't mean sin. I mean live with the realization you are a sinner. Because God came to save sinners. Therefore, God came to save you. And if you live with this realization, not in terms of thinking, I'm a terrible sinner, I'm no good, I've messed everything up, look at what I've done with my life, look what I've done with my loved ones, and all these other bad and ugly and dark thoughts that come into our minds. Instead of that, you'll be like the publican. And you'll say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's really a simple prayer. It's one that I recommend. We've modified it somewhat in our church, and we say the Jesus prayer for the most part. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. You can say, have mercy on me, a sinner, if you wish. If we have this deep conviction in our heart that we're sinners, that means we're just being honest with ourselves. We're not covering anything up. And then God will heal the honest man. He'll heal the one who's asking for help. The one who doesn't ask for help doesn't get any healing. The publican in this parable, he was healed. And I want to concentrate especially on this aspect of the parable. I think we look at this parable, in my opinion, in kind of three parts. One is that the Pharisee was judgmental. And that's a bad thing. We know that. Okay, so we can say this parable teaches us not to judge others. fine. That's true, but that's really a small portion of this parable. Only a portion. It's only the beginning of righteousness to not judge people. Then the second part of the parable that people think of is that we should have repentance in our prayer, like the publican. Okay, that's true too. And that's also a small, larger part, but still a small part of the parable. And here's the largest part. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. This man was made righteous by his prayer, his seeking God. This man had consolation. Now the world doesn't understand this. The world thinks that when you feel pain, it's a terrible thing. The Christian, if he understands pain, the pain of knowing our sinfulness, the pain of knowing the sinfulness of the world, the emptiness of so much in the world, if a Christian understands this pain, then he actually desires it, because this pain brings relief. This pain brings calling out to God and then justification. Now, justification means to be made righteous. This is an important spiritual skill which you must try to acquire. God will give it to you, absolutely, but only with effort. And I've told you so many of the things that you can do to acquire this skill, and they're all valid, they're all true. Absolutely read the Gospels. Absolutely read the Psalter, which is replete with this spiritual skill in it. Come to the services, especially the evening services. I continue to remain confused after more than 30 years why more people don't value the evening services. They teach this skill, this necessary skill, to bring about righteousness in our hearts, peace in our hearts, justification. Forgiving your neighbor, forgiving your enemies, giving alms, all those things. But primarily, the way this skill is obtained is with God reaching out to us with his grace as we reach out to him and say, forgive me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. We feel this pain in our heart about our sins. And God gives us consolation. Deep consolation. Not like the world can have. Now, in this parable, the Pharisee, he went away happy. Don't think that he was sad when he went away. Don't think that he felt anything bad at all. He said his prayers, boasted, felt pretty good about himself when he walked away. But he wasn't consoled. Not consoled as God consoles. He only had psychological happiness. That's not what we want. We want to be consoled in the heart. We want to have the happiness that no one can ever take away from us. And that happiness comes about by recognizing we are sinners and by crying out to God. And the paradox is, as we recognize that we are sinners, wretches, we have confidence before God, and God gives us consolation. This great paradox must be lived to be understood. I tell you, in my experience as a pastor, many people do not understand this paradox because they think only psychologically. They think in a worldly way. You must shape your thinking to be spiritual. If you are exposing yourself always to worldly things, then you will think in a worldly way. If you are not reading the Gospels, if you are not praying, if you are not fasting, if you are not struggling to learn of God and to have Him be in you, then you will think in a worldly way. You might be pretty happy. You might be relatively content, but you won't be consoled as God can console. This consolation only comes after pain, spiritual pain, not psychological pain, not feeling depressed, not feeling bereft of anybody loving you or any of those sorts of psychological things that happen. No anxiety, none of those things. Spiritual pain is when we deeply feel how far we are from God, and we have deep longing to be with Him. If we have that pain, God will always console us. That's the difference between psychological pain and spiritual pain. Psychological pain, you can sometimes get rid of it. I think there's a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says something like, Christianity isn't about feeling good. A bottle of port will do that. So you can find ways to feel good, whether it be a bottle of port or whether it be egotism or whether it be some other sin or just distraction in worldly things. You can find ways to feel better. Or maybe you can't. Maybe you feel bad for a long time. Don't mistake your psychological pain for that salvific spiritual pain. Transform your psychological pain into spiritual pain. Now, as I said last night, this cannot be taught, but it can be learned because God will teach it. So if you focus yourself on spiritual things, God will teach you, and you will have this deep consolation in your heart. That's the point of this parable. You can learn the other parts too. Yes, indeed. We should not judge others. Absolutely critical in order to have spiritual consolation. It's not possible to have spiritual consolation if we judge others. It's completely impossible. Also, pray with repentance. Absolutely. But the point of praying with repentance is to reach out to God, and He will always take your hand without fail. When you reach out to Him in spiritual pain, He always will console you. That's one of the ways you can see if there's psychological pain versus spiritual pain. Now, we mix it up so often that it's hard to tell because we're such beginners. But if you have pain about something and it doesn't go away, no matter what you do, maybe it takes a hiatus for a little while, but it always comes back. That's psychological pain. But if you have this pain in your heart, there's a way of just knowing that God touches you. And even though you're not that much of a better person after it happens, and you still got the problem, God is with you, and you feel it. I don't know how to explain it to you, but it happens. You must pursue it. And God will indeed be with you if you do this. Now, this parable is on the precipice of Great Lent, because Great Lent is all about acquiring this skill. When we say that Great Lent is preparation for Pascha, that's true. But people prepare for things in many different ways. The preparation that we have is we want to be fully aware of our nature, fully aware of our wretchedness and our sinfulness, and be open to God in such a way that our awareness, which causes pain, it's not pleasant, brings God to give us consolation. And when that day of Pascha arrives, it will indeed be a happy day, because we will be sinners who have been redeemed. That's what the preparation of Great Lent is, to recognize your sinfulness. Now, our services are replete with this recognition all the time. And there's a reason for that, because we are resistant to this idea. Everybody is. That's why you have to remind yourself of it so often. The world will not tell you this, but true Christianity will. Now, false Christianity, it will never tell you this. You look on the TV set, they won't be saying this stuff, because this is painful. People don't like pain. They equate pain with something that is always to be avoided. No. In Christianity, when you feel the pain of your sinfulness and reach out to God, God consoles you. That's the only way to get the consolation. This is all over our services, all over our ascetical literature, if you read it. I know it's hard to understand. But truly, if you want the consolation of God, humble yourself before Him. Use Great Lent as the tool that it is meant to be, to teach you about yourself. Shout it from the housetops that you are a sinner. Beg God to help you and believe that He will. And if you don't know how to believe that He will, then just beg Him to help you, and He'll teach you how to believe. You know, there's a movie that a lot of us have seen, Ostrov, The Island, and the main character, the starets, Father Anatoly, is seen in one place. He's on top of the bell tower, and he's ringing the bells, not at the right time. He does all kinds of foolish things because he's kind of a fool for Christ. Just in the middle of the day, and singing at the top of his lungs, off key, that he's a terrible sinner. He wasn't afraid to say he was a sinner. Because if you know you're a sinner, then God will truly console you. This is a skill that I, as your pastor, dearly want you to learn. It's not a skill that you're going to learn in the world. It's not a skill that you're going to learn in contemporary Christian music. It's not a skill that you're going to learn in most churches. It's something you must learn by humbling yourself, by applying yourself, by thinking spiritually about things. And then comes the consolation. And indeed, the consolation is very dear. May God help us to think like the publican, to repent in a deep way regarding our sins, and to expect and to experience consolation. I tell you, it's the only way. Go through Lent with great desire, with lots of failure, because I guarantee you, if you desire, you're going to fail. It's going to happen. Go through Lent with great desire, and you'll see what I mean, even if only a little bit. And I'll tell you, when you feel even a little bit of the consolation of God, nothing else compares at all. So seek God's consolation. Seek justification by seeking spiritual pain regarding your sinfulness. You will not be sorry. May God help you in this. Amen.